Hey everybody, and welcome to the Bike Lab podcast. Today I have with me a couple of gentlemen that I've been wanting to talk to for a while, that aspiring achievers in the road racing environment. But they took a trip up to Chicago in the Intelligentsia Cup, and man, I can't wait to hear some of the stories and experiences and learnings from this. So,
Well, first off, we can't tell you all the stories because, yeah, I know at least my mom may listen to this. So,
Well,
you need four viewers or listeners. So,
well, we have at least 17 viewers and listeners. So, you know what? You should probably keep it PG-13.
Okay.
I'm the innocent.
Brandon's like, I don't know. I've been in the FCA for like 20 years. I'm good to go. Well, man, you guys, when you went to Intelligentsia Cup, Brent, what category were you?
Earlier this year, I caught up to Cat 4.
Cat 4. So you were Cat 4 at the time you were doing the race.
Correct.
And Brendan, you were Cat 5.
Correct.
All right, man. Like, let's walk through. You're getting ready to go up to this race. I'm sure you're getting, like, heap loads of advice. So before we go through the whole, like, talking about different experiences, what's something that was a lot easier than you thought it was going to be for a week long of racing? What's something that was way harder you didn't expect?
Oh, Brendan, go ahead. I've been talking for 30 minutes already, so.
Something easy. There wasn't anything easy, I feel like, about that trip. I was
everything
so mentally
was hard.
Exhausted.
And,
yeah, it was a lot.
10 days, right? 10 days in a row?
Yeah, just staying focused for 10 days and staying mentally in the game was probably the hardest thing to do.
Yeah. Getting results seemed easier maybe than you thought.
Yeah. I was in Cat 5.
So. But still, it's a competitive environment,
it
right?
It was.
Yeah. Brent, what about you?
I think the easiest thing was the drive up there. walking along the pier, eating some ice cream.
But yeah.
Definitely kind of what Brendan alluded to of being mentally focused. So you had about that day 4 fatigue hit you, and about day 5 or 6, you kind of just rode through it. It kind of, your fitness was coming up as well.
Yeah. So, it's interesting how you get more tired and more tired and more tired. And then there's like this point where you're like, I'm actually gaining fitness now and I'm starting to feel a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely. That was tough. But then the mental aspect of it, and especially when you're trying to compete and, you know, being on the podium and top 5, 10 finishes, you are game planning the whole race. You are thinking where you want to go, which moves you want to follow. Mm. It is mentally exhausting, and naps were required after every day. After every day of race.
Well, and you guys did the full setup.
Full setup. One Airbnb until the very end of, you know, most of the races were within 20-30 minute drive, and we'd get there early, do the Cat 5 warm up and racing with Brendan, and Jonathan was there for the first
Jonathan
bit.
And Mason was
Mason
there for
Mason was
of it, yeah.
there in the Cat 4 race, and then we stick around and
So what was breakfast every day? You're at an Airbnb. What's the breakfast situation like?
It started out great with Jonathan there. I mean,
would he just make breakfast for you guys?
He would make overnight oats for us every night.
Blueberries, coconut in there.
Was there a back rub in there?
Well, again, I said things we can't mention.
Was Jonathan single?
Things that can't be mentioned. You're all right about that.
Yeah. But, you know, Jonathan is a coffee connoisseur.
Oh,
and,
really?
He brought his own little grinder, and he'd make us different types of coffee, and which came in handy because, you know, one thing about Intelligentsia Cup is Intelligentsia is a coffee. They make coffee.
Yeah.
So if you get a podium, you get a bag of coffee.
You get a bag of coffee.
And we had a lot of coffee.
We got a lot of coffee, guys.
Well, that's kind of a precursor to how things went. So first race, Brendan, how'd it go? Do you even remember it after doing 10 races in a row?
I do. I remember the first race. There was a big hill on the finish.
Leg breaker hill.
Mm.
And I got second place in that race.
Mm.
To a friend that I made up there named Leo.
Okay.
And it was a tough race. There was just one guy named Ryan up at front, and he pretty much pulled me around the whole race and did all the work until the end of it, until the last lap.
Yeah.
And then I attacked him, and the Leo guy, he was from Germany, I believe. He attacked me as well, like on the hill right after I attacked, and I just couldn't.
So was the finish on the actual hill?
Yes, it was.
It's right as a crested,
I remember that course.
Yeah.
I did not do well.
Well, Tony.
No, I did terrible. How did you do?
Well, Tony. Not quite similar experience to Brendan is I'm, yeah, that's a great sound effect there. Yeah. I knew that was not my race going in. It's about, you know, kind of not as steep as the first part of Crybaby Hill. Mm. And it wasn't as long because there was no right turn. You had to keep going.
It's straight into it, right?
It's straight into it. And you could carry a decent amount of speed.
Yeah.
But it was hard.
Yeah.
Coming in, I was probably 178, 175 pounds and racing against all those people who weigh like 140.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Those 14-year-old kids that you have to race against.
I remember that race. I didn't finish it, but I was 192 at the time when I was doing that race.
I'll tell you what. I said, if I finish top 10 in this race, I'll be very happy. And yeah. And every time I went up that hill, I'd see 600, 700 watts and I'd be looking over and people were passing me and I'm just like, wait until it's flat, guys. Wait until it's flat. And
I was a good, so you're saying it's a really good warm-up.
It was a great warm-up, you know, good time to stress your legs day one and just put you in the gutter.
Yeah. Cool. Day two.
Yeah.
Brent, how did day two go? Did day two go better than Leg Breaker Hill?
Day two, I was pretty excited for. Coming off Wheeler, I think what was day two, Brendan?
I know you guys are pulling up Strava right now.
Yeah.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. And it, with all those races in a row, they start to blend in with each other.
I can remember a couple of the courses,
but I can't remember all of them.
Yeah. No.
Because it's in a different. Like, what's nice about Intelligentsia Cup? Like, what's the guy's name? He owns all the bougie bike shop, coffee shop things now in Austin. And Doug Zell.
Yeah.
Doug Zell is one of the founders of Intelligentsia Cup. And the reason why, he's one of the founders of Intelligentsia. And the reason why the Intelligentsia Cup exists as a bike race, because he's an avid cyclist. And what are those? I'm running blank on the name. The really cool bike shop, coffee shop in Bentonville.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called. Meteor.
Meteor. That's what it's called. Yeah, he started the Meteor basically to create cool hangouts where he wanted to live.
I mean,
but he's killing it. And they're getting ready to launch one in Dallas.
Okay.
North Dallas as well. But Doug created Intelligentsia Cup just so his coffee company would have a way to sponsor it. And it's in the different suburbs of Chicago. Now, there's a different race each day. And it's really cool what we did when we were there. Back in my day, Jacob White was a racer in the area who was one of the first to really get to that legitimate Cat 1 Pro level. And he went with me and like Peter Erdos and a bunch of other dudes from that Peter Erdos world of racing, and John Lasorsa and others. And since our races were at the opposite point of the day, we would drive our car to the race and do the race, and then we would ride back to where we were staying. And Jake would ride to where the race was, do the race, and then drive the car back.
Oh.
So we got a chance to ride back from all those places through Chicago. And it was a pretty cool experience to be on those streets and like not be freaked out, because at that time of day, everyone's riding, right?
It was, for sure. You
know, yeah. If it was 11 p.m., it might be different.
To your point of seeing all these different communities and all these different places, like you would never go there. Like how you go to Chicago, you go downtown, do the.
But you're gonna ride out to all the different suburbs and stuff, and then get back to like the city. So that was a really cool experience, just being there.
The experience was amazing because this is the hot night of the town. What's going on that day? It's
right,
this race,
yeah.
And everybody bring out their lawn chairs. I think day one we set up on a hill and we sat in someone's front yard and they were like bringing us snacks, cut up some coconut and
nice
and.
But they're probably used to the race happening there each year.
Loved it. But yeah, day two was Lake Ellen, which. Mm.
Lake Ellen,
that was awesome.
That was
I
an
loved
awesome
it.
Course, yeah.
It was technical. Mm-hmm. I think it was may have been the first.
Does that
year.
Go from like kind of like a main street and then kind of like some back streets by houses and then back out to a main street again?
It goes around a lake.
Okay,
hence
never mind.
The Lake Ellen part.
Yeah. Yeah, we did go around a lake. So yeah, you're good.
Is it the one? It had the school.
It had the school
and
the
school and the tight hairpin 180.
Yes.
That I crashed into the curb
and
did not get a free lap.
Yeah. Oh. So there's learning experiences.
Son of a
bitch. Yeah. So Brendan, the you know, one big thing about doing 10 days back to back racing is it's a compressed learning experience.
Yeah.
And
you learn lots
of great experiences that we can carry forward and into later in the year and next season. So yeah, Brendan, why don't you tell us about your day two at Lake Ellen?
Yeah, day two at Lake Ellen. You know, I just tried to stay aggressive after the first day. Wanted to stay up at the front of the group, and there was just one tight corner. It was a hairpin 180.
Left or right?
It was a left.
Left, okay.
And
it's like kind of a double apex. Rough road. You had to pick your line carefully through there.
Yeah, you did have to pick your line carefully.
Mm.
And I don't know, it was probably 20 minutes into this race.
Mm.
Overcooked the corner and just went into the curb.
The outside?
The outside.
Outside, yeah.
Outside, yeah. Kind of high-sided and just messed up my seat.
Yeah.
So, you know, fell off the group.
He crashed. You crashed.
I crashed. Officially crashed. I crashed, yes. And
that's what you tell the official.
Pit, told the official, you know, hey, I crashed. These are the circumstances. And they said, no, it's a preem lap. You don't get a free lap. Go back in and chase.
That's not real.
It was real there.
That's not free. Yeah, I get a free lap. No.
Not for you, Brendan.
Not you.
No,
sandwich.
Trisha, or I can't remember the official's name.
Calling him out.
Yeah, I'll call her out. But she was in the wrong. I talked to the main official, and they did say that I should have gotten a free lap. So that race, I don't know, I finished like 25th, I think, in the overall, because I never caught the front group.
Once the selection's gone.
Like 15 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
Just suffered.
Yeah.
Brent?
Yeah, lovely day for me.
I saw Brendan's crash, I realized I shouldn't overcook that corner.
He was hanging up the front, and I was like, what happened to
him? Where'd he go?
I was like, and then he just popped by, yeah.
That was a race my fiance came to as well.
Yeah.
And, of course, did not get a result, so that was cool.
Yeah, so this, you know, day one was rough, leg breaker heel. I knew that was going in, so very curious. You know, again, my goal was top 10. We had like 75 people show up to this race.
Oh, gosh.
It's a large field.
So this is Saturday?
This is a Saturday.
So it starts Friday. This is the first big weekend.
First big weekend. Oh, yeah. You know, and I was nervous. I did Tulsa Tough with, you know, 80, 100, who knows how many people were actually in the race. But a little on edge maybe with that bigger field. There was a little hill in there, so it was easy to provide a little bit of separation. But then also technical, people were just happy just to sit back and like follow the wheel in front a lot of times. Moved up to the front, but Cat 4, some people wanted to work and keep the pace high. Some people got to the front and just set up. So,
and some people get to the front and don't know what to do with it. They actually end up there and you're like, oh.
Well, Ricky Bobby did, huh?
What do I do now?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Now you lose.
Yeah. So there was a lot of that, a lot of surging. So it was quite frustrating. And from a group dynamic, you know, we saw that. And anyways, it was a good race. Tried to set up some stuff. And unfortunately, Mason wasn't able to finish the race through some weird crash, but
it was a weird like pedal strike or something.
I don't even know if he struck his pedal. It may have been like a weird angle. You know, you get up, come out of the corner, and your handlebars get twisted just slightly too much. And
yeah, it was a weird scenario.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we weren't able to work together for the end of the race. But coming through the last lap, I think I was like 10th or 12th going through the hill, and I was like maintain position. And I saw an opening where people kind of let a line open up. And a lot of this crit racing stuff is confidence and knowing where to be and positioned. And I took that line and coming out, kind of there's two corners left. I sat in third or fourth wheel and moved up into that last corner and sat on someone's wheel and out-sprinted them. Almost started my sprint too late.
Yeah.
And I think I got by a bike throw for second place. Guy went off the front, soloed from the start. Yeah, YOLO, because
I feel like we have a nickname coming here, because I feel like there's like it gets the last couple laps of a race, and Brent's just back there licking his chops. He's like, when are you gonna let me by? When's it going to happen? I know my heart rate's 100,000 right now, but...
Yeah.
So chops.
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 You have to, like, now you have to grow them out.
It sounds like I'm chopping wheels. I don't
know. Well, that's true. Well, yeah, a good nickname. We'll work on it. You know, a good nickname is always two or three scenarios down, right? Okay. So it could be chops, chopsticks...
Well, maybe I was like just chopped. Excited the
sticky.
Quicker I learned
sticky.
That.
That's the nickname. Sticky. Sticky. No, just sticky. Oh, just
no.
Sticky.
Oh, no.
What?
Where's this going?
Day three.
Day three.
What we got day three?
Day three was...
And this is where I feel like, because you had a good finish the first day, a little sketchy second day.
Yeah, correct.
You had Legbreaker Hill as a legitimate sprinter first day. Second day, I got second.
Yeah.
So now you both are like, okay, we both podiumed the first 2 days. Are you starting to think about the overall now, or are you just having a good time?
I don't know. I can't really recall. But
well, let's see how day three goes, because it probably starts to turn up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So day three, it was a hot dog
Hot dog crits. Hot dog
crit. So just four corner, you know, Brent specialty, not really mine.
Wheeler got me prepared for this.
Yeah. It was a sketchy race. I remember, just Cat 5 racing. There's quite a few people that showed up to this race, I believe.
Sunday.
It was a Sunday race. Yeah. So there's quite a few people. You know, I just try to stay up front pretty much every day. I just tried to stay up front. That was my goal, mm-hmm. just to avoid any carnage that happened.
Well, yeah. The fewer people in front of you, the less crashes you're going to get in.
Yeah.
So if you're not quite sure how the course is going to go and you have the fitness to be there, staying in that top 5, top 10, just to kind of be out of the fray is a good idea.
Yeah. And by this day, you know, it's day 3. We had raced with, you start to realize who the racers are around you. Yeah. You know what they're doing. So, and they tended to stay up front as well. Mm. So it wasn't like I was doing all the work up front. That being said, this course, it doesn't really suit me.
Mm. Was it just flat in four corners?
Just flat in four corners. Yeah. There was a little bit of a hill.
There was a little kicker on the backside.
Yeah, on the backside going into corner 3.
And then and it was sketchy. There was a headwind coming down the home stretch, right?
There was, yeah. Okay. Mm. Yeah, I finished 5th on that day. So.
That's still good, but really that's just a protected result, right?
Yeah.
You stay out of trouble. You knew you weren't going to be able to like power blast a sprint, but you were able to still redeem like a good day out of it by just kind of staying on the wheel of the guys in front of you. And even if there's, I mean, I feel like no matter what size the race is, once you get past 50 racers, be it 50, it could be 120, there's still only about 7 to 10 people who can actually win that race.
Yep.
Yeah, under the right conditions. Sure. Everyone else is just in the way.
I fully agree with that.
Yeah.
Brent, so
day 3,
as Brendan alluded again, hot dog
crew. Let's go.
You know, flat.
That could be a nickname too.
Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Yeah, they're okay. These are bad.
No, we can go. I like we can that. Go hot dog. We can go wiener. We can go Oscar Mayer. You know, and your nickname is Oscar.
You know, the worst part about this was I didn't even get eat a hot dog after the race.
That would have been fantastic.
You know, I was promoting it. I was excited on Instagram. I was like, hot dog crit, this is my day. You know, hot dog crit requires a hot dog after the race.
Absolutely.
Chicago, 10 days, no hot dogs.
No hot dogs.
You know, what's the deal?
Did you guys get any, did you go to some of the deep dish pizza places?
Definitely. Well, we got it ordered in. Just, you know, some of these days end up being long, and by the, you know, there's only 2 races, but by the time you travel, warm up, and cool down.
It's funny, like, how long an hour race takes to prepare for, do, and then chill down.
Yeah. Yeah. We're up at, you know, 7 a.m. every day, and that's not, like, super early, but we didn't get back until 3:34 most days, so it's like a full day's of work.
Deep dish pizza is, like, one of my favorite things.
Oh, yeah.
So good. I gained weight on my
Luminati's, right?
I don't remember.
Ate too much pizza. You don't remember.
No, it was that long ago. Okay. It was like 2016.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, deep dish pizza is not the best to be doing.
It depends on if you're a sprinter or not.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of deep dish pizza. I'll say that. After experiencing that.
Let's roll right into day 4.
So yeah, look, I just real quick, day three results for me. There were 74 people in the field. There were a couple attacks going off. One guy, same guy from the previous day, went solo, won it. Mm-hmm. Probably lapped the field or something close. It was a field sprint and I ended up 3rd. So
now you're thinking,
this is the day I was like, this might be.
So Brennan's just off podium.
It wasn't 3. A fluke.
And you're like, I've been podium 2 days.
2 days.
So both you guys are starting to think, I wonder what's going to happen.
I wonder what's going to happen.
Day four. Now we're on Monday. All the posers go away. Field size probably cut in half, right?
Ish. I had 50 people in mind.
But the threats stay.
Yeah.
That's what's important. Like, it doesn't, like, the guys that are real threats, they don't go home.
Correct.
So on this one, I had notes that Jonathan and I are sitting 1st and 2nd in the Omnium, and that I need to work on positioning on the last lap, which I didn't do on this race. looking at my results, looks like I got 7th.
Mm.
It was a fast course. Pretty technical. It had like a roundabout in the in
this
the course.
Is the one we did that video.
Oh, we just watched.
We just watched.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Crazy. Like 280 degree turns,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a roundabout, yeah. Pretty much. Same strategy going into this race, just stay up front, start the race, attack at the beginning. Jonathan and I, we worked together during this race, I do remember, just sending attack after attack. Trying to tire out the
field. Where were you on that course? We just watched the video.
Yeah.
So on the course, where were you launching attacks? Was it on that back straightaway?
The back straightaway?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Kind of where it was like technical right out of the whatever, horseshoe, whatever.
I think that's like that bus stop, yeah, that roundabout thing.
Yeah.
The roundabout thing, you launch it there, everyone's single file. So if you go there, then you get some gaps.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. There and then going into corner one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
Just send it through the roundabout.
What did Jonathan do on that day?
Jonathan on that day, I know he beat me.
6.5. That?
He did two places better than me, so fifth. He got fifth. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Brent, yeah. What we got?
This is I was part of this racing stuff is confidence and knowing, having trust in your abilities and that's half the battle. You know, most of the stuff is mental.
It's mental if you've prepared properly.
Correct. If you're physically capable, yeah. It's mental, right?
Yeah. Like it's mental. Like once you have the fitness to be one of those 10 people who could win,
yeah.
Then it's very mental. But so, if you're, you know,
yeah.
Holding on for your life, then just it's good training.
So day four was, all these category races, it's kind of all the same stuff. Brendan mentioned, you know who you start racing with.
Yeah.
This is where we've identified it. We kind of had a talk beforehand. Like, hey, guys, let's keep it fast. Keep pulling hard. If someone rolls off, keep it going because we're going to drop half the field.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the plan the whole group decided on. And I think so we had a early selection breakaway. It started coming back together. I sent an attack to keep it up, and that destroyed the field. I think there were like 12, 13 people left in that selection.
That's where half the field thought, that guy needs to be a Cat 3.
Well, I think everybody was in the field up top, catted up, you know, in the top seven people. You know what they say, Tony, you don't let a sprinter in a breakaway, right?
No, as often as it happens, you should not let that happen.
Yeah, so there were a couple, and, mark those and saw some attacks going on the back straight, follow the wheel, and you know, what else do they say? First in the last corner, right?
Yeah.
Usually wins the race if there's not too much.
Yeah, you'd rather be first than fifth.
Yeah.
Fifth is like you get a chance to see who wins.
Yeah, yeah.
First, you might win. Worst case scenario, you get third.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario.
So attacks started going on that back. I jumped on them, and then
jumped on it, dude. They just watched that video. Just fucking smashed it.
They slowed down. I was like, "You guys are dumb. I'm going to keep going."
Yeah, time to slap someone's mom on the way through.
Yeah, and did a nice 18 second sprint at the end, and won by maybe a quarter of a wheel. And first win. Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Now Brendan's trying to catch up with the Brent.
Yeah, so podium, you know, I got dropped on day one with the leg breaker heel. I don't know if we mentioned that.
Day one, you're thinking, man, Brendan's going to do so much better than me.
I got 16th. I think I sprinted somebody up the hill for 15th or something.
So I'm going to get it.
I was like, I'm going to pass this guy.
That was the lunch muscle sprint.
Yeah, I was like, well, if anything else, at least I got 15th or something.
So from, let's look at, this is now Tuesday is day five.
That was Monday, yeah. Tuesday is
so
day
Tuesday,
five.
Wednesday, right. Thursday. Yeah, what are some highlights from those 3 days? Tuesday, Wednesday. What do your results look like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Brendan?
Like day five?
Yeah, five, six, and seven. What do we got?
Fourth place on day five. It was a hot dog crit. And it got neutralized with three laps to go. This guy had a really gnarly crash in front of me.
Oh, wow. So three laps to go, they neutralized it, then like
yeah, for 30
three
minutes.
Laps to go, and they go!
Yep. That's how it was. And I had attacked right before that,
really?
Too. Yeah.
That's my kind of race, though.
Yeah, and then I attacked again whenever they restarted the race and wasn't able to hold it, but I got fourth.
Wow, okay.
And then, let's see, day five. So day six, I got second.
Okay, so that's our second podium for you.
Yeah, it was a rain race.
We were running low on coffee, so that was a good thing.
Yeah, we were.
Well, that's a lot of coffee you're going through. It's like 4 days, you're already through all the intelligentsia you got.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we were going through a lot of
smashing
coffee.
Smashing it, yeah.
We were. Yeah, Brookfield, that was a technical course.
It was raining.
It was raining that day.
I remember we were doing our staff meeting or some kind of thing you guys called.
Yeah.
Dustin, and we put you on speakerphone to start talking about racing in the rain.
I think this was day six. We were talking, you know, strategizing. And, you know, that support you guys. Yeah, I was talking, texting Dustin, and like, what should happen here? And everything. We gave you guys a call, and Tony's like, all right, race mode. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Well, when it comes to, like, the very first race I ever did was Mineral Wells, Texas. And they used to have a stage race that was a time trial. Time trial and criterium on Saturday, and then a road race on Sunday. Or, no, the opposite. Time trial and road race on Saturday, criterium on Sunday. And on Sunday, it was pouring rain. And one of the people that started the shop with me was Brandon Malott, who is known as a really
good
bike handler, mountain biker, national champion cyclocross, incredible dude. And I watched his crit, and he just rode away from everyone. But it was pouring rain. And I said, everyone thinks it's fitness. He goes, I just know how to not hit my brakes and go through the corner properly. And he just ran away from everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember that in my head when you guys said, what do I do in a rain race? I'm like, well,
don't crash.
Lower pressure and ride it like a mountain biker.
Yeah, and I think you gave us advice of keeping our pedals flat through the corners and not, you know.
Yeah, like more like a mountain bike.
Yeah.
Corner more like a mountain bike, as I think what you told us.
Because if you get into something loose and your bike is going to slide, mm-hmm. if you've dumped your outside pedal, which is great when things are grippy
mm-hmm.
and you're counter-steering, but if you're going through a rain race and you know you're going to slip, once you dump that pedal, you can't then control the slide.
Yeah.
If you keep your pedals level, then if it slides, you're still like kind of bunched up. And so you can kind of predict what's going to happen and come through it cleaner.
Yeah. You can keep your balance.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. There you go. This race, I remember I was really pissed after that I got second. I thought I was going to win it. I got in a breakaway with this bigger guy towards the end of the race. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna smash him. And he ended up being a triathlete and sprinter.
Not a sprinter in that breakaway.
Yeah. And he smashed me. So
if it looks like he really likes lunch, be cautious.
Yeah. Yeah. You send that one to go flyer. That's when you have to make that separation, right?
Sketchy. It was raining.
So for you, Brent, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, what's that look like in that middle gap land?
Yeah, I was feeling very comfortable. I think I was sitting like, you know, top two or three in the Omnium, which mm-hmm. kind of surprised. I wasn't expecting that results coming in.
Did either of you expect to do that well going in?
No.
No,
like, not at all. Because it's such a huge race.
Big race.
And you guys are in your first couple years of racing.
Second year.
You're just trying mm-hmm. to learn, right? And all of a sudden you have these results. You're like, crap, I have a chance at like overall in this really big event.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was happy with my fitness going in, so I knew I had opportunities to create results.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was unexpected for sure. But yeah, through there, I started seeing people, you know, one bad result, you know, loses a lot of points. So it's all about consistency.
Yeah.
I think one day I snagged seventh, got caught behind a crash with like, made it back to the pits and like, you got to go. This is the last chance to jump in. And that's not ever... nice.
No.
Your heart rate's jacked, your adrenaline's jacked, and you're stiff.
Yeah, it dumps a bunch of your adrenaline, too, that you need to use for those last couple laps.
Yeah. So, not the best, but did some tail gunning at Lombard. I just want to tell this quick story is I went in there, I said, I'm going to, you know, take it easy. My legs are a little bit tired. I didn't get a great night's sleep last night, and this is a perfect course to tail gun, you know, as long as you make it halfway up. So I was just sitting back at the back having a great time and railing these corners where people would take it 2 or 3 wide, and I was carrying speed, so it wasn't that bad. Ended up meeting Robin in this race. He came up and was going to come up underneath of me, and I said, hey, no, you don't need to be there. Like, just follow my wheel. Like, well, I'll just drag you around, you know. Yeah. Just
watch
be nice.
How this happens. Watch how this works.
You know, it's beneficial for me, so he didn't take my line. I was getting through the corner, so it was not like I was just trying to be a nice guy.
He gets the nickname Chops.
Yeah. Yeah. But we ended up talking after race, and he was very nice, and we're actually friends today, and like, oh, we still awesome. Talk. Like, it is awesome. So
that's super cool.
Just like people you meet during mm-hmm. the races and stuff. But saw that result, seventh. I was like, ooh, that was not what I wanted. You know, that we had that top six, mm-hmm. seven people, and... but the next day, jump back on it. I was like, okay, no more messing around here. I think I got back up on the podium, second or third.
Yeah.
The following day, and kind of held that out towards the end.
So final weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
This is when you're like, okay, we know we're in the hunt.
I mean, I'm tired.
Well, everyone that is in the hunt is tired. So you're gonna get a lot of with Intelligentsia. A lot of people do the first weekend, a lot of people do the second weekend. So do you see an influx, Brendan, in these races, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, of new people?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
A whole bunch of new people, fresh legs. So you probably are trying to keep track of like your point gaps with the people that matter, not all these people that just showed up and don't have a chance for the overall.
Yeah, at this point, it was like you knew who you were racing against back to that point, and mm-hmm. you know, it was just those guys that were in contention, and we were up front every day. But going into the weekend, day seven, I got my first win of Intelligentsia.
Very nice. So talk about that race.
So that race,
was that Northbrook?
Yeah, that was at Northbrook.
Yeah.
I talked to one of the racers that had been up front consistently, and I was like, hey, yesterday I tried to get in a breakaway, and it worked. I ended up getting second, though, so let's go get a breakaway going right from the start of the race. And me and like four dudes rolled out, got a breakaway going. Within like two laps, we dropped two guys. So just me and another guy the whole race.
Just hammered it.
Yeah. And towards the end of the race, I was, you know, asking him, hey, how, man, how are you feeling? Like, we're doing great. We got a good gap.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, you could tell he was pretty tired.
Mm-hmm.
So on my pulls, I just pulled a little bit harder every time and just tried to fatigue him because he looked like a sprinter.
Yeah.
And at this point, I was able to identify, you know, who's a sprinter and who wasn't after just getting beat.
Does
by
he
one
really
day
like
before.
Lunch?
Yeah. He looked like he liked lunch.
Yeah.
And also, it was that killer mentality. Going back to Brent, Brent kept telling me, dude, if you want to win, you got to have killer mentality on the last lap. And so yeah, I just tried to tire him out and then just out-sprint him, and that's what I did.
Nice. And that's, you know, it's an interesting tactic when you're in a break with a few people and you identify the person that's either struggling or, like, the strongest person. And so you get behind them so that when you pull through, you can pull through kind of hard, and the group kind of gaps them a little bit. But anyone that's kind of strong or that wants to keep the pace going is going to see it as an affirmation of, yeah, we need to keep it going, even if they're suffering.
Yeah.
So well done on that.
Thank you.
That's a good.
And part of that, you know, it was such a cool experience. And before we went to Chicago, like, I don't know if Brendan and I talked more than like two or three times. We rode together, bike lab groups, and saw each other at races. But we're like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. You're going to Chicago? Let's go to Chicago.
Let's do it.
Let's meet this guy, Jonathan. Yeah. Jonathan, let's go. Okay.
Jonathan,
we don't know you.
Forearms of
a
god.
We didn't know Jonathan.
We didn't know Jonathan at all.
He was barely a cyclist.
Like, we're like, hey, we're doing this race next week. You want to go? He's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I bought a bike on Tuesday. Let's go.
Yeah. So, but like, we would talk, strategize the race. We'd watch YouTube videos of previous races, like watch a course, and then we would get together and like analyze each other's last laps and figure out how we can improve. But jumping in like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Thursday, you know, third place podium again. No, a lot of coffee, guys. I got a lot of coffee. Yeah. I think 6 of the 10 days I podiumed.
Yeah.
And then day 8, the guy I was competing against, like, I was up by 1 point, I think, in the Omnium on him, and then there's like a big gap for third. He ended up he counted up because he was moving to Denver and so on and so forth. So my competition just went away.
Oh wow!
So day 8, I was like, all right, there was like a big downhill and then like a big uphill, and had like a little chicane back there, and I was just, you know, hanging along. That I had a mechanical issue kind of at the front and kind of got bumped, and anyways, took a free lap, jumped back in, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna try something a little bit different today. I think with 2 to go, I was like, I'm gonna go,
because when you're really tired and been racing for 8 days, why not make the hardest win a possibility?
You know, well, there was a guy up the road. There was a guy up the road, and
that
I was
guy.
Like,
this if is, I, you know what I call this? The Hefner move.
If
you're at Lake Hefner, you're riding around, all of a sudden you see some dude up there.
Yeah,
you're like, you know what?
I can catch him.
I'm gonna get that dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I was like, you know what? If I can bring the group back to him, because there was like 7 or 8 of us in this group.
I
want to
ruin
this
dude's day.
I want to run this guy's race. I'm like, I hate these breakaways. I'm gonna bring it back. You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, in the back of my mind, I had this comfortable lead for Omnium. I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. Worst I'll get, like, there's a select of 15
what
people.
What could happen?
I might win. So I didn't win. And
oh, did you now?
The announcer said, what the hell is Grant Wilson doing right now? Whenever he launched this attack.
Yes, no. you got called out.
The announcer said, what the hell is he doing? Yeah, you know, it's fun. You start seeing Brandon, the same people.
You're on the sideline. You hear him say that. Are you shaking your head too? Like
I was. I was like, what is he doing?
He's lost
right
his mind. What's he doing?
This is not his style of racing.
I'm a Cat 4. I don't know what type of rider I am. I've been sprinting, having success.
Yeah.
Why not see if I can stick it for a lap?
Absolutely. You got to test yourself.
Yeah. And I that just reaffirmed I'm a sprinter.
So what place do we get on A?
Well, I got caught with one to go, and I just tagged on the back, and I was struggling. You know, I sent it because you got to be committed, right?
Well, like you do. Like that's the difference between the upper categories and the lower categories is everyone is still in test mode versus I've done this before, so I know what it takes, so there's no looking back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But if you get caught and you do that, it's bad news.
I was struggling to hang on the back, and then I got caught behind a crash with half a lap to go, and I just kind of rolled in for 13th. And I was like, you
lucky
know,
13.
Whatever, you know, I'm secure now.
Whatever. Screw these guys. I'm so much better than them.
Looked at the results. Oh, there's a guy like 8 points behind me now because he won the race.
Day 9, day 10 gets real interesting. So, Brendan, for you, day 8, 9, and 10, what are we looking at?
So day 8, got third on the day.
Podium, baby.
It's the hill day. Let's go.
It was the hill day, yeah. I just kept...
But that
was
the day after the Killer Instinct.
It was after the Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
I got into it with like a 13-year-old during this race, arguing with him because he would not take a pull. Just kept trying to get a breakaway
these
going.
Kids,
and
man,
he would
fast.
Not. He would... I would get a breakaway going, and then he would get on my wheel, but he would never take a pull.
Yeah,
and
no allowance for you.
Yeah.
Girls will never like you.
And he's like, my coach told me to get in a breakaway, but don't do any work. And I'm like, well, this
sounds like a great way to lose, kid.
I was like, well, this breakaway isn't going to stick, so just go back to the group. So did a lot of that over and over and over. A guy ran into my wheel on the last lap going into the last corner. It was like a sketchy downhill and then a kicker uphill. Oh,
yeah. 32 mile per hour corner.
Yeah, it was an RV.
Downhill.
Yeah, on like a half an inch of tire.
Yeah, and if you slide, it wasn't smooth pavement.
No. She's great. So we get third on that day.
We got third on that day.
Okay, all right. Well, so. You're saving the result then with the different little annoyances that are happening. That's great. Third's fantastic.
Yeah, it's consistent.
Yeah, podium.
It's consistent.
It's fantastic.
You know?
Well, you're showing up consistently now.
Yeah, yeah. And at this point, you know, obviously, I'm trying to go for the Omnium. So
going into days 9 and 10, what's the points look like for you overall?
The points overall...
I think you're sitting pretty good.
I was sitting pretty good at that point.
I think you had a lot locked up by that point.
Yeah, day 9, I had it locked up.
Okay. Sure.
I still tried on day 9, though. I got fourth.
I was trying to convince him to cat up on the last day so we could race together.
Oh, yeah, but he wants to win that overall. Baby.
Yeah, it was really neat. We'll talk about day 10. Jump over here, then we'll talk about the last day because that was pretty
But
impressive.
Day 9, so we got third, and then day 9 you got what?
Day 9 I got fourth.
Okay.
I just didn't have the good positioning.
But day 10 was when there was a bunch of people. It's Sunday, big event at the brewery.
The last Sunday.
That was the AAC race, right? Yeah. So
I just tried to survive day 10, honestly. It was awesome. It was probably the coolest race, being a Cat 5 that I had done up to that point.
Yeah.
Why was it so cool, Brendan?
Just like all the cheering.
But why was it was the last race of the day.
Last
it was
race
the
day.
Cat 5 was the last race of the day.
It was a prime time world championship Cat 5.
It was a world championship Cat 5 race.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was a hot dog crit. At that, so not my.
Was it more down, like more inside in the city streets?
No,
this was the Fulton.
It was Fulton, so it was near some brewery. It was a sketchy part of town still, but like industrial.
I mean, it's Chicago. The whole town's sketchy.
We were in some nice suburbs.
Unless you're like 10 stories up, it's sketchy.
There was homeless people like where we were warming up. It was pretty sketchy.
Well, during the pro race, somebody riding his bike jumped in the race and like about to crash some racing. Well. Better than I probably would have, to be honest, because he was getting after it. But just sketchy, you know.
So what did you place in the Cat 5 World Championships?
That race, like 12th.
12.
It was so fun. The announcers were having a blast with it. Yeah. There were call-ups. They called up, like, local legends and, like...
Like you know, Strava and local legends?
I messed the call-up up.
Absolutely.
Yes. Brendan messed up the Cat 5 call-up.
I messed it up. Yeah. They were doing the call-ups, and they meant to call me first. They didn't.
Lame leader.
Yeah, and then they just, some guy was like, go up now. And so I was like, okay. And I can't tell what they're saying.
Over no, you can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah, I can't hear what they're saying. So I roll up and he's like, that's not who I announced. Who the hell is this guy?
This is the same announcer who was giving me crap a couple days before.
What is he doing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The announcers, they knew us.
Yeah. Well, they're seeing you consistently at the front of the races and your results. So they're sort of like, oh, this is Brendan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is awesome. Yeah, that's championship Cat 5.
So,
but I wrapped up the Omnium.
You wrapped up the Omnium. So, like, there's... what did you get, man? Like $1 million? Like what happened?
Thought I was gonna get some rollers, but I ended up getting a bag.
Freaking Brendan.
A bag.
Yeah, a pretty sick bag, a gear bag.
Nice.
It's like got
did you guys get jerseys for some of your
We got jerseys for winning.
Winning.
Nice. I got one jersey.
Yeah. Yeah, got a jersey for winning.
Coffee, I've given it all to Dustin. Yeah. Pretty much all my coffee. So
I wonder why he was twitching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in July.
His bathroom breaks take a long time, that's why.
Well, and you got a jersey as well.
I did get a jersey.
So you know what's unique about this podcast, as far as I'm aware?
Yeah. What's that?
We're the only three people in Oklahoma that have winner's jerseys from Intelligentsia.
We're just badass.
But I could be wrong. There may be some other guys I've raced that have gotten it, but I'm not aware of anyone else who has won a day.
Yeah.
Besides the three of us.
The higher categories did have some like jerseys to win, like from Omnium,
right,
and like 3-day miniseries and stuff, which were really cool. It was an amazing event.
But Brent, your final weekend.
Yeah. Day 8 was got 13th, sent something and
you were like, I'm going to try something new, and then day 9 you're like, I'm not trying something.
You know what I'm going to try?
Old reliable.
I'm going to try that 13-year-old's trick Brendan had on him. Was I'm going to stick on that guy who's in second's wheel the entire time. He had a teammate.
Did he now?
He did. So this is kind of interesting. They were kind of working together. They marked me. I heard him yelling at I was on the I can't think of the kid's name. He was like, Brent, he's on your wheel, don't do anything type deal.
He's got you.
So I was just following him around. He go, I go. I made sure I was one or two near him, and his teammate tried to go something. I'd be yelling out the field, "Don't chase him! He's gonna sit up, you know, trying to wear out the field." So
chase him. His buddy, let him win.
Yeah, his buddy was could then send an attack when he got caught, right? So I was on his wheel the whole time, and then with about one to two to go, I was like, "Well, I'm in a position to do well."
Yeah.
So I moved up and ended up getting third on day 9, and my competition I think got like 6th or 5th.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Bad
so
move, bad move.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Don't let the guy that's beating you beat you. Right.
Yeah. Sucked it.
So hey, what worked day 9 worked day 10. So bigger race. We had a lot more people come in, a lot of fast people come in.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And similar result. My race was not against the field. My race was against this guy.
Yeah, because no one else mattered at that point.
Nobody else mattered. I wasn't too concerned about podium. If I'm in there with two to go, maybe. But it was still to beat that guy.
If you get 10th and he gets 11th, you win.
I win.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, which probably was due my detriment, because I was following his wheel with one to go. And I was like, well, I'm going to follow it and I'll just outsprint him.
Yeah.
And he took the outside line going through corner one, and when you're about 6 wide, because it's a big wide course.
Oh yeah.
What were you saying earlier, Tony?
That's a centrifugal line. Force moves outward. Yeah.
Yeah. So somebody inside decided not to keep turning and push everybody out.
They forgot how to turn.
Yeah.
Suddenly, can't turn.
Yeah. And you know, part of this is experience wise is looking ahead, and I saw that coming. I saw that crash coming at least, you know, 2 seconds before
it happened. Isn't it crazy once you get, like, and that's something you only get, I think, when you've raced a lot in a tight window.
Yeah.
Because then, like, your senses start to, like, click. And that's why I think experiences like Intelligentsia Cup are so valuable, especially if you're not that high level yet.
Yeah.
Because you're compacting all this learning, and every day you get a chance to see it different.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes it's like, I'll race once or twice. 4 weeks later, race once or twice, and it's kind of hard to remember what you learned last time and like apply it.
Yeah, and it's mentally draining. Kind of part of that.
Yeah, it's mentally draining, but like what you grabbed out of it is so much learning. It accelerates you way past.
So I ended up, I kind of just crashed into the grass, kind of leaned over, because I'd rather crash in the grass than a tree or sidewalk. So I landed, you know, my, got some dirt on my shoulder. I was fine. My bike was a little messed up. Was not able to ride it. I stand up. I'm just pretty upset because if he got 13th, he would have beat me. So I stand up. I just says, I kind of yell, no, you know, something clean, PG-13, of course. PG-13.
It's a Marvel movie. You get one.
And I stand up, look, and I see that kid trying to put his chain on his bike. I'm like, all right, I'm good. And I just walk back to the start-finish line. By
him, like, fist bump.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of sucked because I would have loved to ride through the finish line. You know, I would have sat up for 50th place, like, raising my hand, you know, fist pumping. But I didn't get that opportunity. But
hey, when I saw you after that race, you were smiling and you had a beer in your hand. And
he was so happy. He's a sprinter, happy. Man. I mean, if he could have had, like, a total, like, a dozen donuts in a box and been eating them, he would have been.
You know, sometimes crit people don't mention if you crash, like, you know, without on the last lap or whatever, and you don't have to sprint. Your heart rate doesn't go high.
No.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's time. Crit fat, baby.
Yeah. Just make sure the person who's in contention with you crashes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Take him out and you're good.
Yeah.
So,
great experience.
Intelligentsia Cup. You guys win this. Are you going again next year?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I might need another couple more weeks to say yes to that. But yeah,
yeah, you are.
You're going.
It was tough. It was the drive back. Maybe break that up or do something a little bit different. But
well, the energy expenditure is huge. But you know, the experiences you get doing that, going to a new place, learning how, like the camaraderie that comes out of it. It's just incredible. It's a really cool experience.
I mentioned at the beginning is, you know, I didn't really know Brendan before all this stuff. We were like, yeah, we'll save some money and do this stupid thing we call crit racing.
This is back when he had a killer mustache.
Yeah, now.
You don't even know who this guy is anymore.
But yeah, like.
I lost my identity.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I felt like when I cut it off.
So. You looked in the mirror and you're like, I don't even like you.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Anyways. So, the bonds you make and you know, it's an experience and like you're going through adverse conditions. Like, I mean, this is all just fun and games, like, but there's like tough spots in
but
it.
But it's nice to jump into the challenge of it and have your ups and downs. And what I like about racing bicycles is it always takes you to the end of what you can do. And then you have a decision to make of like, okay, am I going to get like frustrated because I found my end? Or am I going to learn from it and then see if I can go just a little bit further?
Yeah.
And cycling is infinite in its possibility of doing that. And I think what you guys did with racing and going in and jumping in and kind of finding yourself in this wonderful position of like, wow, okay, we were just coming here to learn, but we're also learning and learning how to win. And learning how to win is very different than learning how to race.
Yeah.
Because a lot of folks, like I would say, like I said, like 80 people sign up. There might be 10 who could win, right? Part of that is because they think, I want to win. Yeah. I should win.
It's like confidence.
I've earned the right to win this race.
Killerman.
There's at least half those guys there that don't feel they've earned it.
Yeah.
So they won't. It doesn't matter what fitness they have. Yeah. They'll pull back 100 attacks and get 12th all day long.
Yeah.
But until you say, you know what? I look good on the top of the podium. I look real good. I'm going to do that.
Spandex looks good. I'm just saying.
It looks better shaved from the front than the back. Oh, okay.
Shave legs, you know.
Shave legs. Yeah. Sweaty, gross. Sexy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a reality. Like, there's a lot of people, I think, that show up and say, you know what? They wouldn't even try to win.
Yeah. So
versus, you know what? I'm here to win.
Yeah.
And I'm going to race in such a way, I'm going to learn how to win, right?
Yeah, click
you
day
now,
three.
You now know. Two lap to go move, not how Brent's going to win. But you were trying to win.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the whole goal is like, how can I win? What are the ways I can win? I'm here to learn how to win. And it happens to be in bike racing.
Yeah.
That's a whole mentality.
Yeah. The learning to win is a thing. Like, you shouldn't cat up until you can try to, you know, winning is hard. Just podium is hard,
podium
too.
Podium is hard. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everybody wants to podium. I mean,
everyone wants to podium. And some people get into the chase of a category.
Yeah.
And they're chasing the status of being a certain category, but they're not learning how to win. Learn how to win first.
Yeah. I mean, I'm new to this, so like my advice may be bad, but I mean, I think it's in good spirits here is that you should be dominating your category before you move up. I mean, there's mm-hmm. points and rules and stuff, so yeah. you should follow those, but mm-hmm. hit the mandatory upgrade, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're not winning races or podiuming, you're not, if you get fifth every day, you're not going to succeed in the next level, I don't think.
Well, you just know how to get fifth in the next
yeah.
level. You don't know yeah. how to win yet. So you know how to accumulate points and you mm-hmm. know how to search for status.
Yeah.
You don't know how to win.
Like, I mean, I think I had a great success at Intelligentsia. I won one race. Like, yeah. I mean, that's a big deal. Like, I'm not trying to say it's not, but like, it was hard. Yeah. Every day was hard. I podiumed so 6 out of 10 and won
on the races that you got for you guys. Here's a question: the races you podiumed versus the races you didn't. What was the difference?
Killer mentality.
Right. Wanted to be there.
I wanted to be there. I wanted to be on the.
At first, you're like, I'm not sure I can make it. So you didn't really know if you could want it.
First day, I felt like I could get on the podium just because of the course. I mean, yeah. it had that hill. So, but yeah.
You're a skinny motherfucker. Hey,
I'm skinny, opposite so. For me, right? I was like, yeah this is.
Brent's like, man, I should have started on day two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the difference is real. Like, if you can get third or fourth, you can win a race.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Right?
So,
yeah. But it's mentality. It's
mentality, yeah.
yeah. yeah.
You just have to want it more than the other guy and be willing to suffer more than the guy next to you. Everybody's hurting on the last lap. So,
But it's multifaceted. That there's this point yep. in bike racing where it's the vision, it's the intellect, it's the tactical, it's the preparation with fitness. But there's also the emotional side of it.
Mm-hmm.
What can you pour into it? What's the motivation look like? And as you're reading these guys that you're racing with, like for you with that guy, you're like, fitness-wise, I can tell he's kind of struggling, so I'm going to pull a little harder, yeah. right? But emotionally, motivation-wise, the energy you had, it's not intellect at that point. It's not fitness. In your mind, you're like, I'm going to freaking win this race, yeah. right? So there's a difference where if I'm going to win it, then all I have to do, if I have the intellect to know where I need to be and I have the fitness, it's just putting myself in the right position, and I'm just going to take it because it's yep. never going to be given.
Yep. yep. The, you know, everything's preparation. Going back to my point of like, you know, how'd you do, or like what was your mind process?
Yeah.
Is, well, day one, I got dropped, literally got dropped. Yeah. And I was like, every time I went up the hill, I was like, wait till it's flat, you guys, you 13-year-old kids, wait till it's flat.
I'm going to make your mom cry.
They're going to be like, can I get a refund?
Is it your mom over there? Is she single?
So minus that day and like towards the end, it crashed out, right? So of the 8 races, it was the last lap. Knowing that I'm going to be hurting. I'm going to be in the hurt locker.
Yeah.
And like Brennan said, everybody else is there too.
Yeah.
And you just don't care. You mm-hmm. just have to flip that switch and say, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
But it's preparation, right?
Yeah.
It's preparation of your training. It's preparation of the course study. It's preparation. You're preparing for that final lap, mm-hmm. the whole race. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying these different lines. Mm-hmm. I know where I need to be positioned. Oh, this guy's strong. I'm okay with him mm-hmm. being here, or don't follow that guy's wheel.
Yeah. yeah.
It's preparation all the way until you hit the finish line.
And so what I think you guys were very open to learn and adjust. And the mental energy to do that is intense.
Oh, God.
Right? And you see racers at some point start to think they've got it figured out, and they just want to repeat those Uncle Rico moments, right?
That's great.
But when I talk with – I did a podcast with Evan. When I talk with Evan McQuirk, who has shown a significant amount
– Who's that?
Well, he's this skinny, weird-looking kid.
Well, here you don't have to talk bad about him.
No, he's a good racer, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
he just turned pro. He did okay this year.
Okay.
And
I think I know him.
yeah. What I find is that the way you guys are talking about going after racing as, at the time, Cat 5, Cat 4, the same curiosity, openness to learning, finding new approach, like being open to not knowing it, but knowing you want to win. He mm-hmm. takes that same approach when he's going into the professional environment right now. And I think it's one of the key reasons he's having success is because he's not hunting status.
Hmm.
He wants to win.
Yeah.
And if you want to win, you're always open to learn. You're always mm-hmm. open to new information. You're not trying to prove someone else wrong, because if they're right, okay. I want to hear it. I want to win.
Yeah.
And that's the same focus you had here too. And I think it's why you had the experience you had.
Yeah. I think
along with being badasses.
Yeah.
Did you have a mustache at the time too?
I don't think. Yeah. No.
I think you did.
No. Last year.
You sure?
Yeah. Last year when
I was gonna say the mustache. Mustache was the reason.
Mustache.
Mustache.
No. Whenever Top Gun came out, definitely had a mustache. Of course, right. Everybody.
I wore jean shorts for a year.
But you know what was interesting is I'm 35 years old. And
look at you go.
Look at me.
Gorgeous.
Look at me. 35 year old. So it's like, it's pretty cool. I started doing this 2 years ago, and it's been a very interesting experience. And I'm way nerdy and like deep diving in the rabbit hole. And how should I lean my bike over? And like, should your body weight be here or there? You know, so the technical aspect of it. But it's cool to see, like, I'm kind of older, not 13 or 18 or 25, you know, and able to still have some type of success.
Enthusiasm.
And, well, yeah.
Yeah, you were enthusiastic about it, and you found some success in something that it's really hard to do.
Oh, God. Looking back at it.
The sport of racing bikes and criterium racing is really freaking hard. Because it's not like a soccer where you're trying to beat one team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's you versus 80 dudes.
Yeah.
And you're trying to beat 80 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
I still don't know. Like, I still think, I'm like, it's not that impressive because I won, right?
Well, Brendan, he does have a point.
Brendan won, I won. Like, yeah, you're it like, wasn't that cool.
Bottom of the barrel.
Like, yeah, it's not that hard, guys.
Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
What?
They were making fun of us up in Chicago all the time. The announcers, it was such a fun event. If you're able to go for a couple days, if you're racing, and the announcers are a good time, and like, go during the week, like,
yeah,
because it's a little bit more tight-knit community, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I know that I think that there's a plan with at least you two, and we had some conversations with our race team about having a crew go up and planning on that. So even if you're not on the team, but you want to share housing and that kind of stuff, put that like feather in your cap, because I think the Intelligency Cup is going to end up being a repeat experience we consistently go up to and have a good time at.
Yeah, especially if you like coffee. There'll be some good coffee.
Coffee, deep dish pizza.
Deep dish pizza. No hot dogs. Late night talks around the fire. That was good.
#NoHotDogs.
You know, it was very emotional bonding, and you know, we got a deep talk, real talk.
We did have some deep
talks. Conversations.
Yeah.
Deep talks,
yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And ice cream.
And ice cream. I'm out on the ice cream. I will inflate like a hot air balloon.
Well, maybe that's why I didn't do too hot that one day.
It was the ice cream, yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and being a part here of the Bike Lab podcast.
It's been great.
It's been great. Thanks for having us.
No problem. Thanks for jumping on, guys, and we'll see everyone else the next time.
Sweet.